Masechet Pesachim has been dedicated by Mr. Ike J. Shehebad in honor of his grandparents, Mr. Ike and Jeanette Beebe. We bless Mr. Ike Shehebad, who's been a sponsor of the Daf Yomi for many days. They should continue to enjoy success, health, and happiness. May his grandparents also enjoy much nachat from him as well as all their grandchildren, and may they only share in simachot for the entire family. Amen. Daf Tzadichet. Today's daf has been dedicated by Mr. Abe and Barbara Kassin in memory of Shulamit Bat Zarife. Ruach Hashem Tanihena Began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied La'ilu Nishmat Acham Baruch Rafael Ben Miriam and Avraham Ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tanihena Began Eden. Amen. We are beginning at the Mishnah on Daf Tzadi Zayin Amud Bet, towards the bottom of the Amud. And the Mishnah says, HaMafrish Nekeba Lefischo. A person designated a female animal for his Korban Pesach. Of course, Korban Pesach can only come from a zakhar, from a male. But this fellow designated a female for the Korban Pesach. Or zakhar ben sheteh shanim. Or a male that was overaged. Korban Pesach has to be within the first year. But he designated an animal that already was in the second year. So the deen is that you have to let that animal graze until it becomes Baal Mum, v'yimacher, and then you sell it v'yipilu damav lindava l'shlamim. So then you have to take the money and you spend it on a korban shlamim. According to the girsad, the Masor Tashas brings down v'yavi b'damav shlamim. He takes out the word nedava. Just says that you bring from the money of the sale, you bring it a korban shlamim. Rashi says, on the bottom two lines, and she says a big hadush over here, that the reason why it's Yira'at Yistaev is because we consider this as a Pesach Dahui. Why? Even though it itself is not worthy to be brought as a Korban Pesach, it's either a overage or it's a female. So L'chaura, it was never worthy to be a Korban Pesach, to be pushed away, that you tell me has the deen of Yira'at Yistaev. So that she says, the kavate afrasha. No, the mere designation of such a korban gives it a status of a Pesach, afal pi shim'ikaro dahuyu. Even though from the inception it is pushed away in the sense that it's not valid. Hareu ke kavua shinidhe. It's as if it was eligible and then pushed away, and the deed is shenu atzmo karev shlamim el adamav. As we learned earlier, whenever you have a korban that's ra'uy for a Pesach and then it becomes pushed away, so then the deen is you don't bring it as a korban, but you sell it and you bring the money as a korban shlamim. So that's the deen over here in this case as well. You sell it and after it becomes a ba'al mum and you take the money for a korban. Mishnah continues, a mafrish pescho damit. A person designated his Korban Pesach, and then he died. And the Gemara will go elaborately and discuss when exactly he died. But for our purposes, he designated a Korban Pesach and died. Lo yivienu beno acharav l'shem Pesach. So his son cannot bring it for him as a Korban Pesach, because his son was not designated on the Korban. His father was designated on the Qurban. Once the father dies, now there's no more subscribers to the Qurban Pesach. There's no more registrants for the Qurban Pesach. So the deen is Ela Leshem Shelamim. But the son can bring that Pesach as a Qurban Shelamim. So again, she says on the second line, Tahavid Pesach Shemetu Be'ala Ve'en Kan Menuim. When the father dies, there's no more, he was the only guy in the Qurban. Once he dies, the Qurban obviously is not valid for a Pesach. So it's pushed off to bring it as a Korban Shelamim. And again, the Gemara will explain exactly when the father died to tell us when the Korban is brought as a Shelamim. Gemara says, Amar Rav Huna Bered Rav Yoshua Shema Mina Telat. We learn from our Mishnah three dinim. Shema Mina, number one, Ba'ale Hayim Nidhin. Ba'ale Hayim, animals that are alive, can be pushed away. The Lashon is, they can be rejected from the Mizbayah. What does that mean? Rashi. Shema' mina ba'ale Hayim Nidhin. Behema, an animal. Shinidhit Behayim. It was rejected when it was alive. Like this Korban Pesach that we're discussing over here. The overaged animal. It's alive. You didn't slaughter it yet. Dehuya dehui gamur. When it becomes rejected, it is a total rejection. She'af lechishindir it lemashayta reuya. Even if it subsequently becomes valid for what originally it was valid for, ena kereba ela ro'a. You do not bring it as a korban, but you let it graze. Now she gives you the example. Deha ditnan tere'eh velo karba shilamim. He gufa. The first case of the Mishnah was, you let it graze, and you don't bring it itself as a shilamim, but you sell it and use the money. Shizui de'iyata kemetahila. Because really, that's what it was eligible for from the beginning. Shekol mutar pesach karev shilamim. Which means that's considered like a residual Pesach. Where any Korban that you weren't able to bring as a Korban Pesach, like in this case over here, where you weren't able to bring an overaged animal as a Korban Pesach, so it turns into a Shelamim. But in this case over here, since you designated it, Mehayim, and you designated it as a Pesach, so even though it was alive, and even though at that point it would have been Ra'uy eventually for a Shelamim, still, once you designate something when it's alive and it becomes designated for a something that it's not ra'ui for, it becomes dahoi permanently. And therefore, udlo kerebi shibon, not like kerebi shibon. The amar ba'ale hayim en nidchin, the gemir ba'ale mum shenidchay ul she'avar mumon dere, which means the bishimon holds that an animal can only become dahoi after it is slaughtered. It can still change when it's alive. You know, if you designate it for one thing and it's not valid for that item, if it's still valid for the other thing, you can bring it for the other item. According to this, they know. Once already it was dahui mechayim, you brought it for a Pesach. It's not valid for a Pesach, it's dahui. Finished, there's no going back. Even though technically it was always valid for a korban shilamim, this animal, an overaged animal, you can bring it for shilamim. In the keva, you can bring for a shilamim. Doesn't matter. Dahui mechayim, even though it's alive, once it was rejected, it is rejected completely. It can never go back as a korban. That is the first din. He says it that is once a live animal becomes disqualified as a sacrifice, it retains its disqualified status even after the reason for the disqualification disappears. Right? From the Mishnah's ruling of the case of the female or the overaged animal, that you let it graze, and it is not offered as a shilamim, even though this was in effect initially what it was consecrated for, since even a valid Pesach, if left after the holiday, is brought as a shilamim. So if you just did nothing to this animal, then normally it turns into a shilamim. Doesn't matter. But since you designated it for a Pesach, so that's considered already a dihui, right? When it you designated it for the wrong item, and therefore it's pushed away, and therefore it does not turn back into a shilamim at all. Next din. Vishma minna. Dihui mi'ikara havi dihui. Okay, that is the hiddush of the Mishnah as well. That something that was rejected from the inception is still considered rejection. Even though this item was rejected initially, it was overaged. It was not a'ui for Grandma Pesach from the beginning. Or it was a female. It wasn't a'ui from the beginning. It doesn't matter. Once you say, Harezu le Kurban Pesach, it still can be rejected. Even though from the beginning it was not true. You might say, maybe what the guy said, Harezu le Pesach is nothing. It doesn't even hal. No, it doesn't even qualify because it wasn't Shayach. No. Even something that was rejected initially can remain rejected. Let's read Rashi. Shema mina dihui meikara vidihui tehan nekeva uzachar ben shtei shanim betchilato lo nore'eh lema sheugdash. It's not worthy to what you sanctified it for. It's not shayach to be a korban pesach. Ve'kamar yire'eh v'lo yikrav shelamim u'atzmo. Right? But still it says what? It is grazed. That's mashma what? That the pesach is hal on it. And then you're not bringing it as a Pesach. So that means it was ra'oi for a Pesach, or it's designated for a Pesach, and it was pushed away. Therefore, the deen is you cannot bring it as a shilamim. Third deen, there is the hoy on something that is only consecrated for its money value. In this case over here, when you consecrate it for a korban pesach, so you cannot bring it as a pesach, so you bring it as a shelamim, but you cannot bring it as a shelamim itself. You only bring the value of its money, which means you sell it and you give the money to Mizbeach as a korban shelamim. So that she says, what's the chidush in this? So we read that she v'shma'mi na, yesh dihoy bedamim. There is rejection when it comes to something that is only consecrated for its money value. Can the parishit become a mekomot b'gemara? Okay, like he explains it. I would go a little down. Shma'mi na kedushat damim nidchit kelomar. Towards the middle of that Rashi, Shma mina afilu davar shilo kiddush ta'ila lakrabat gufo ila ledamav. Something like this that wasn't consecrated for its goof from the inception. From the inception, you couldn't bring this as a korban pesach. So from initially it was rejected. So the only kiddush that it had was what? Its money val. Okay, go on. Hekdish chatsiyah v'chatsiyah sheni chodin. Here's a different case. Well, let's say you designated half a korban. Half a korban for kodesh and half a korban for remained cholin. So such an animal you can never put it on the mizbeach because half it's kodesh and half it's cholin. Obviously, from the inception, it was only consecrated for its monetary value. Dachoy li karev de gufo betchilat tekdesho eno karev od leolam do ilvin edcheh yedcheh. Once it's pushed away, it's pushed away. You might have argued and said, no, maybe you only push away an animal that was consecrated de gufo, meaning if it was worthy itself to be brought as a korban. But here from the inception, it was never worthy in itself. It was only worthy for monetary. So you might have thought that such a dihui, if it becomes worthy, for example, after Pesach, so for a shelamim, maybe I can bring it as a shelamim. No, even something that's consecrated from the inception for its monetary value, like in this case over here, where you could not have brought it as a korban Pesach, because it wasn't ra'ui, so automatically it only had kiddushat demim on it. Says this dihui is a dihui. It does not return back to become ra'ui. So those are the three hadushim of the Mishnah. Okay. Tanu Rabbanan. We have a blight. Hamafrish et pescho. Okay, guy designates his korban Pesach. Vemit. And then the guy dies. He's the only one registered on the korban Pesach. Now the Gemara discusses his son. Im beno memune imo. Well, if his son was registered with him, they got two people. Yivienu leshum Pesach. All right, so the son is registered, no problem. He's still on. He can bring it as a korban Pesach. En beno memune imo. If his son is not registered with the father, yivienu leshum shelamim. So the son brings it as a korban shelamim leshisha asar. Okay, on the 16th of Nisan, that would be the second day of Pesach. So the Gemara says, Le-yud-vav in, le-tet-vav lo. You bring it on the 16th as a Korban Pesach, but not on the 15th, because the 15th is Yom Tov. And why can't you bring a Shelamim on Yom Tov? Kasavar, nedarim and nedavot, en kerebim ben Yom Tov. Okay, because this opinion holds that you do not bring voluntary Korbanot on Yom Tov. This Korban Shelamim is not obligatory, it's a nedavah, it's a donation. So therefore, you can't bring it on Yom Tov, so you bring it on the 16th. And that's the first din. Now the Gemara analyzes the Braita. Dimita av emat. When did the father die? Okay, so basically we have two dinim in the Mishnah. If the son is registered, it's a Pesach. If the son is not registered, it's a Shelamim. Now we want to know when did the father die that these dinim are going to be true. So the Gemara says, Ilema demit kodem hatzot. If the father died before hatzot, that's midday on Erev Pesach. That's when the Qurban begins to be brought at Hatzot. But let's say the father died before Hatzot. Beno memune imo yivienu leshem Pesach. If the son is registered, can the son bring it leshem Pesach? Ha hala aninut elave meikara. When a father dies, the son obviously becomes an onen. Right, he becomes an onen. Now the deen is that if he becomes an onen before already the chiyuv of Pesach is on him, because the chiyuv of Pesach doesn't hit until Hatzot, so he was an onen first. So the deen is such an onen cannot bring the korban Pesach himself. As we learned, if he was registered as part of a group, the group can bring it for him, and he cannot eat, but he can bring it for him. He's yotzeh. However, here he's the only guy that's registered. If he's the only guy registered, we make a gezerah that we're concerned that he might become tameh. He might get tameh from the mit, especially in this case over here, where the aninut came first. So therefore, he's going to be more involved with his aninut than his pesach. So therefore, if the father died before Hatzot, how could you tell me that the son brings it as korban pesach? Impossible. He's an onen before Hatzot already, before the hayuv korban pesach, even it. So what's the case? So the Gemara says, so let's just read that in the Shi for one second. Look at the third line. Shi'ini medemet kodem Hatzot ubo bayom ha hal aninut alave. The guy already, the son is an onen bereshah first. Right, as we learned, that the hayuv to bring it alone now is not on him. So the Gemara says, you know what the case is? Ela demit achar chatzot. So the father must have died after chatzot. Very good. So therefore, the hayuv of Pesach came on him first, because when chatzot came, he's hayav, and then he became an onen. In such a case, we say, bring it as a Pesach. Because why? Because we say in that case when the hayuv of Pesach is on him first, he's going to be careful, because he's obligated already now. He had the hayuv of Pesach first. He's going to be careful not to become tameh. He could bring the korban even alone. So we have no problem with that. So the Gemara says, "En beno mimune imo." But we have a problem from the second part of the Braita. It said if the son was not registered, yebienu leshum shelamim, you're going to bring it as a shelamim. How could that be? Once Chatzot came, and the father was alive, this already is designated as a legitimate korban Pesach. What's the deen if a Pesach becomes dahui? If the Pesach becomes dahui, the deen is you don't bring that korban itself. You have to let it graze, and you sell the money, and you bring it as a shelamim. So it goes, ha kavate Chatzot. Chatzot already was kovayet for korban Pesach. So then if you're learning the cases, he died after Hatzot, the second deen of the night, that doesn't make sense. Why would the son bring it as a shelamim? The son should graze it and then use the money. So therefore we have a question how to interpret the night. So the Gemara is going to offer five different interpretations how to interpret this night. So Gemara says, Amar Rabbah. Amar Rabbah le'olam demit kodem chatzot. Really, I'll tell you the case of the Braita, the father died before chatzot. Also, we had a problem with that. If he dies before chatzot, so he's on in. How does he bring the korban? So the Gemara says, Uma yivienu leshum pesach. And what does it mean that he brings it leshem pesach? Leshum pesach sheni. He's not pesach lishon, he brings it pesach sheni. Which means he really has two options. His option is either very quickly let him register himself with another group, so long as he's not the only guy in the group, they can bring it for him as well. But if he wasn't able to register himself in another group, then already he's just waits until Pesach Sheni. So that's what it means. If he died before Hatzot, Yivienu Leshem Pesach, not this year, not this day, meaning a month later. Okay. Second answer of the Braita. The Braita is actually talking about two different cases. And you read the Braita like this. Met ahar chatzot, if the father died after chatzot, beno mimune imo, and the son is registered with him, yevienu leshum pesach. So, okay, you bring in the Shem Pesach. That's obvious. He was registered. He's still registered on it. His aninut only came after the chiyuv of the Pesach. So, therefore, the son brings it as a Pesach. And the second case of the Braita is met kodem chatzot en beno mimune imo, and the son was not registered with him, yevienu leshum shelamim. Then the son brings it as a shelamim. Of course, the father died before Hatzot, so it was never designated as a Pesach. The son wasn't with him, and therefore you bring it as a Shelamim. So therefore the Braita is talking about two different cases. One case where the father died after Hatzot, and one case he died before Hatzot, and it depends if he's registered with him or he's not registered. So he splits up the Braita, Litzadin, the two different cases. Rav Sheravya Amar. Now Sheravya comes and gives a different answer. Le'olam demit lahar chatzot. No. The whole Braita is talking about where the father died after chatzot. Ugon she'aya abiv goses b'chatzot. But when chatzot came, already the father was a goses. He's on his deathbed, which means he's on his last breath. Now, what's going to be the deen? Well, if the son is registered on the Qurban Pesach with him, so therefore, he's going to have to bring it as a Qurban Pesach. Because once the father dies after Chatzot, doesn't matter. He's registered with him, he's going to bring it for a Qurban Pesach, because he's part of the Qurban. The problem is, let's say he's not registered with him. If he's not registered with him, and the father's a Goses, seemingly, he was still alive, the father. So the Qurban became a Qurban Pesach. Now when the father dies after Chatzot, the Chaurah, you should be grazing it. Because it was a Pesach, it was Ra'ui, and then it became Ra'ui. Why then does it say you bring it as a Shelamim? So the Gemara is going to say, saying, Hadush Kotrav Shelavya. Since he was a Goses at the time of Chatzot, you could assume that what? He's dying. And therefore, it was never considered a Pesach that was Nikba. It was never established as a Pesach. And therefore, when the guy dies, you bring it as a Shelamim. It was not considered ever Pesach, and then it became Dahui. Because at the time of Chatzot, when the Pesach becomes Ra'ui, this guy already was a Goses. So you assume Rov Gosesim, they die. So therefore, what's the deal if it never became a Pesach? If it never became a Pesach, the son brings it as a Shelamim, because it was designated for a Qurban, but since it was never Hal Pesach, what do you mean? It didn't Hal Pesach, it was after Chatzot. Yeah, it was after Chatzot, the guy was a Goses. Since the guy was a Goses, you assume that he's going to die, therefore, the Pesach was never Hal on it, therefore you bring it as a Shelamim. Rav Asher Amar, Rav Asher says, you can write it all differently. Le'olam demi tahar Chatzot. Really, I'll tell you, the guy died again after Chatzot. The Rabbi Shimoni, and the Brayta has found the opinion of Rabbi Shimon de Amar in Baale Hayim Nidhayin, that animals that are still alive cannot become rejected. Now what does that mean? Well, let's analyze. If it's after Chatzot and the son is still alive, I'm sorry, and the son was registered, that's the obvious case. Of course he brings it as a Qurban Pesach. If the father died after Chatzot, so it became designated as a Pesach. Once it's designated as a Pesach, you're stuck. You have to bring it as a, you have to let it graze. No, that's according to Hakamim. But Rabbi Shimon says that since the father died and the animal is still alive, an animal cannot become rejected when it's still alive. Therefore, automatically it'll turn into a Shelamim. We learned Mahlokar on this. Is there the Dihoi Mechaim or not? Rabbi Shimon says, in the Dihoi Mechaim, the animal's still alive. And therefore, it's not only for a Pesach, bring it itself as a Shelamim. Last answer, Ravina Amar, Kegon Shefrisho Achar Chatzot. Ravina says, you know what the case of Braita is? Not only did the father die after Chatzot, but it was designated after Chatzot. He didn't separate the animal until after Chatzot. Two things. Shefrisho Achar Chatzot, Umetu Be'arim Achar Chatzot. Veka Savar Chatzot Kava. And this opinion holds like Rabbi Zera, that the key point is at the moment of Chatzot. Now let's analyze it. The simple case, if the son was registered, so they designated it after Chatzot, the son is registered, the father dies after Chatzot, the son's registered, he brings it as a Qurban Pesach. Now if the son was not registered, here's the hadith, why you bring it as a Shelamim. Because it is never considered a Qurban Pesach from the beginning. Why? They designated it after Chatzot, and the father died after Chatzot, so for it was a moment there was a considered Qurban Pesach. No. Because since at the point of Chatzot, when Qurban Pesach begins, there was no Qurban there, so therefore it's never designated as a Qurban. That opinion holds, you look at the moment of Chatzot. If there's no Qurban at Chatzot, it never gives the animal designation. And therefore the animal was never designated as a Pesach, and therefore when the father dies, bring it as a Shelamim. You don't have to graze it. When you graze an animal, when it was a Pesach, and then it became Dahoy. This never became a Pesach. Why? Because at Chatzot, there was nothing going on. It wasn't there. When did the guy designate it? After the point of Chatzot. So when it's, when the Hiyuv starts at Chatzot and there's nothing there, finished. It can never become designated as a Pesach in the sense that if the father dies, it'll just turn into a Shelamim. So those are basically the five different answers how to explain the Braita of Met Be'alim. Okay, now we go to the next Mishnah. HaPesach. Shinitaribu b'zevachim. Okay, you have a Korban Pesach. It got mixed up with other Korbanot. Other animals now. Rashi says, Shilosha telaim. You had three, let's say, sheep. Ehad shel Pesach, ehad shel Asham, ehad shel Ola. Three different Korbanot. Pesach, Ola, Asham. V'nitarib ha-Pesach b'nehim. Now the Korban Pesach is mixed in there. You don't know which one is the Pesach, or you don't know which one is the Ola, or which one is the Asham. So Rashi says, Kulam yid'u'a chi yista'avu. You got to let them all graze. V'yimachru, sell them. V'yipilu b'dme ha-yafeh shebahem Ola. D'shem ha-yafeh Ola haya. Let's say, for argument's sake, you just figure out the animals. The most expensive one, let's say, was $1,000. Okay? Now you don't know if the $1,000 one was an Ola, was an Asham, or was the Pesach. So you have to sell all the animals after they graze. Right? Now you have to take $1,000, because that's the most expensive one, and buy an Ola, because maybe the most expensive one was Ola. You have to take another $1,000 and buy an Asham, because maybe the Asham was the most expensive one, and take another $1,000 and buy the most expensive, buy it for a Pesach. Now, obviously it's not going to be a value, because you're selling all three, not all of them are worth $1,000. You're not getting that money. So the Mishnah says you have to compensate the extra money from your own pocket, because you have no choice. Now, she's bothered with a side question. Now, she says, what do you mean? How could you designate that money that you're gonna from the sale? If you're gonna sell the money, you sell it to get the money. Now you're gonna take let's say $1,000 of that money and designate it for Asham. That money already maybe was from the Asham, and now you're designating it for an Ola. You're not allowed to switch monies that were coming from one Korban, from one Kedusha, right, to buy another Kedusha. It's a technical problem when it comes to this case over here. So that she says, if we have to take the monies from your house, you take three coins from your house, the most expensive one, and you have to say, this one is for the Ola, and this one, you have to take clean money, money that is really not from the sale. Because if you take the money from the sale, you're taking money, maybe that was this $1,000 that you're taking, maybe it was the Ola, came from the Ola. Now you're taking this $1,000 is for Asham. What do you mean? You're switching from an Ola to an Asham. So you have to take everything from your house and just designate it straight. So let's read that inside. Pesach shetareb zevachim kulan yirua chistabu v'yemachru v'yavi b'dmei yafesh shebahem, and you take the value of the best one of the three miminze u'b'dmei yafesh shebahem miminze. Right, from each species, which means you have to bring from the best one in Ola, the best one from an Asham now, the best one as a Pesach, the Yafsida Mutar Mebeto, and the extra money has to shells out from his own pocket. Which means he sold the Korbanot, but he didn't get $3,000, right? He only got, let's say, $2,500. So now he's got to shell out the extra $500, because he's got to spend $1,000 for each Korban from his pocket. Let's say the Korban Pesach got mixed up with a Bechor. Okay, Bechor Behema, the firstborn animal that's born. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Im Haburat Kohanim Yochelu. Rabbi Shimon says, well, if the group is for Korban Pesach, you have a Korban Pesach now, it got mixed up with a Bechor. So he says, if the whole group anyway of your Korban Pesach was made up of Kohanim, no problem. Let them eat both animals. And automatically they'll cover themselves in the Hayuv of Korban Pesach. Let's read Rashi. Netarev v'bechorot. Two lines from the bottom. Shematan davar matan davar Pesach shaveh. That's the point. Korban Pesach and Bechor have very similar laws. The sprinkling of the blood are exactly the same. Ve'en ta'onin tenufa hazeh v'shok. There's no need to wave any parts of the animal. Ve'lo semicha. Both animals you do not put your hands on the animal. Ve'nesachim. Both animals do not have pouring on the Mizbeah. So therefore, it's very, very good. They're similar. So therefore, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Im kol habula kula kohanim ayu. Let's say the whole group of the Pesach was kohanim. Yochlu et kulam bo balayla. Eat both korbanot the night of Pesach. V'yikra Pesach l'shem Pesach kol makom shehu. V'abechorot l'shem bechor makom shehen. And just have to make a condition. When they're bringing both korbanot on the Mizbeah, just say, whichever one's Pesach, should be l'shem Pesach. Whichever one's the Bechor, should be for the sake of the Bechor. The sprinkling either way is the same on both korbanot. And the procedure is basically the same. So what do they do? On the night of Pesach, they bring these two korbanot over there, they put it out at the table, and they say, whichever one is Pesach, we're eating it as Pesach. Whichever one is Bechor, we're eating it as Bechor. Kohanim eat Bechor, and Kohanim eat the Pesach, because the whole group is Kohanim. So that's the way the Rabbi Shimon says to do it. So comes the Gemara and says, on Amud Bet, Veha kamaiti kadashim lebet ha-psul. What do you mean? The Rabbi Shimon, there is a difference between the Bechor and Korban Pesach. Korban Pesach is only eaten that night. What do you do by the next morning? Gotta burn it. Whereas according to the Bechor, you got 2 days. So therefore you are going to end up burning a Bechor, which is Kodesh, earlier than its time of eating. Now, that's the din of bringing Kadashim Lebet HaPsul. Normally, you're not allowed to burn a Korban before it's time. But in this case, by you the Bishmon saying, let them eat it together on the first night and treat it as Korban Pesach, you're going to limit the eating of the Bechor. Instead of giving it 2 days, you're only giving it 1 night. So that's a qua problem. So the Gemara says, Bishmon on the Tameh. The Bishmon holds the Amar Mivim Kadashim Lebet HaPsul. He says, not a problem. Meaning, in this case, it's not a problem. Why? What's your other option? Your other option is let them graze until they become Baal Mumin. If it's a choice between letting an animal graze and become a Baal Mum, or bringing Kadashim to Bet HaPisul, he opts better to bring Kadashim to Bet HaPisul than having them graze and become a Baal Mum. Comes the Gemara and says, Ditnan. He gives a proof from the Mishnah. What does it say in the Mishnah? Asham. Okay, I have a korban asham. Shinitarev b'shlamim. I got mixed up with a korban shlamim. Rabbi Shimon Omer, yishhatu basafon, slaughter them both in the safon, in the north, which means treat it, both of them, like a korban asham. Treat it with the stringencies of a korban asham. Because normally the korban shlamim can be slaughtered anywhere in the Beit HaMikdash. And asham can only be slaughtered in the north. Okay, you mixed them up, take both of them, which have been slaughtered them both in the north of the Beit HaMikdash. And it says, V'yochlu kechomer shebahin. And let the Kohanim eat both of them, but with the stringencies of both of them. What are the stringencies? That she says, only the male Kohanim can eat it, only for 1 day and 1 night, and you can only eat it within the walls of the Azara. I treat it like an asham. But what do you mean? Amru lo en mivim kadashim lebet apsul. By doing this, you're limiting the eating of the shiramim, because the shiramim you get 2 days. But you see clearly what the Rabbi Shimon say, better to limit the eating of a shiramim instead of letting both animals graze and become a Baal Mum. So you see clearly the Bishwan in the Mishnah holds there is no problem in such a case to bring Kadashim Lebet HaPsul. Comes the Gemara and says, V'rabanan Hechi Abdinan, which means, according to the rabbis, what do they do in the case of the Asham? That's Ridrashi. Vidrashi verabanan. Verabanan de amri en mivin. According to the rabbis that say you don't bring kadashim lebet habisul, heki abdinan le pesach shenitarev bebechorot. The question is by the bechor. What do you do in the case of the bechor? Bishlama gabe asham. In the case where the shilamim got mixed up with asham, shenitarev bishlamim, or pesach shenitarev beola ve asham, or where the pesach got mixed up with an ola and asham. Ika lememar, he says, I have no problem in that case. Yir'u, v'yimachru v'yabi bidmehem otam kerbaru kada amran. I can have a very simple solution. You're not losing out at all. Let them graze, sell them, and buy the exact korbanot once again. Buy an Asha, buy a Ola, buy a Pesach. But the problem is, when you have a Bechor and a Pesach, you're stuck. Why are you stuck? Because the law is, a Bechor is not redeemable. Which means, the Kohanim eat the Bechor, you cannot sell it, you cannot, even if you let it graze and become a Baal Mum, the deen of a Bechor is the Kohen eats it as a Baal Mum. So therefore your Bechor, there's no way to take the Kiddushah off. Now a Pesach is the opposite. The only way you can get around the Pesach is, you have to sell it and use the money for a Korban. So you're stuck now. You have a Korban Bechor, right? You have, the Bechor is eaten for 2 days. You have a Pesach, it's eaten for 1 day. According to the rabbis, you can't tell the Kohanim to eat them both, because you're bringing Kadashim the Be'et Apsul. You don't have an option to graze them, because by grazing them, you're not taking the Kiddushah off the Bechor, because the Bechor is still eaten as a Korban, as a Baal Mum. So what do you do in this case over here? How do the rabbis negotiate the case of a Bechor and a Pesach that got mixed up? So comes the Gemara and says, the Rabbanan, Hechi Avdin, and what do they do in the case of the Asham and the, I'm sorry, with the Bechor and the Pesach? So Gemara says, Amar Rava, Nemptin lo ad shiyu memu. Okay, first of all, you wait until both of them become Baal Mum. V'yavi behema shemena. Bring another animal, a fat animal, which means bring the expensive, which you just size up the Pesach and the Bechor. Bring a third animal which is worth the most expensive of the two. Velema, and say the following. Kol hecha de'ite lepesach tahul ale dehai. Which means, you say, whichever one of these is the Pesach, let the Kedushah of the Pesach go on this animal over here, because you're able to transfer the Kedushah of a Korban Pesach that you don't know where it is, so they take that Kiddushah off. Ve'achil lehu betorat bechor Baal Mum. Now, the Pesach is redeemed. Now you have two animals that are what? Baal Mum. So what's the deen? If one of them is the Pesach, it's not a Pesach anymore. You redeemed it already. So you're eating regular meat. Okay, no problem. You're allowed to eat regular meat. That's Baal Mum. The other one that's a bechor Baal Mum, good. They can eat it as well as a bechor that is a Baal Mum. So therefore, that's the way Hakamim will get around the problem. Take another animal. You say, wherever the Korban Pesach is one of these two, let the Kiddushah of the Pesach go to this third animal. Good. So that is third animal has Kiddushah of the Pesach. And now you're left with two animals that are Baal Mum. One is Chulin, and one is Bechor. The Kohanim can eat both of them. Because they eat Bechor Baal Mum, and the Chulin that's Baal Mum, Kohanim can eat as well. Let's read Rashi. Mamtin ad shiyu memu v'yavi behemah shemena b'yafeh shemem, the value of the more expensive one. V'nema, and say the following, kol hecha de'ita lepesach te'chut kedushate ahanach ma'ot. Oh, so he's saying taking the money. We let the kedushah go on the money. You have the korban pesach there, right? You take the value of the money. Let's say it's worth $1,000, the more expensive one. So you take $1,000. You say, let the kedushah go on the money. U'mayti b'anach ma'ot shelamim. Okay, you bring a shelamim with that money. Because it's considered like a mutara pesa. What's mutara pesa? It's a residual pesa. When you had a korban, you couldn't bring it as a pesa. What's the deen? You bring it as a shelamim. Now, ve'achid lehu lechol ha'ta'arovet betorat bechor ba'al mum. Ve'ezui torato en... Oh, now, what is, he says you eat it as a bechor. That she said, the Gemara says, ve'achidu betorat bechor ba'al mum. What does it mean you eat it as a bechor? Bechor has certain rules. What are the rules that she says? The Ezri Torah to en nishchat be'itlis. You're not allowed to slaughter the korban bechor in the itlis. Itlis is the marketplace. The en nimkar be'itlis. You cannot sell the meat of a bechor. The en nishkal be'litra. You can't use the meat of a bechor as a weight to measure against it other meat. The mayu makir be'pesach shenifde haya shochato u'mochro be'itlis imirze. Hey, but if let's say he recognized, for example, which one was the Pesach, a Korban Pesach that is redeemed, you would be allowed to sell it in the marketplace. But obviously, since you don't know which one was the Korban Pesach, so you have to treat it as the Chumrot of a Bechor. So again, you had the two animals, they got mixed up. You don't know what to do. Hakamim say, you're stuck. Why you're stuck? You can't just tell the Kohanim, eat them together, because you're going to bring one of them, the Betapsul, because the Bechor is eaten longer than the Pesach. So what do? Take money, redeem the Pesach onto the money, take that money by a Shelamim. Now you got your both animals over there, eat both animals as Baal Mum, the Kohen that is, and eat it with the Din of a Bechor, which is what? Yeah, you can't slaughter it in the Itlis, you can't use, sell the meat, you can't weigh against it, treat it as a Chumrah of a Bechor. Okay, now we go to the next Mishnah. Habura. Okay, this is a case we have a group of members of a Korban Pesach. Shabbat Pesach. They lost the Korban Pesach. Ve'amru le'ahad, so they told one of the members of the group, se u'bakesh u'shchot alenu. Go find the korban and slaughter for us. Have us in mind, when you find it, you'll go slaughter for us. Ve'alach u'matza ve'shachat. So he went, he searched, he found the korban. And he slaughtered and he had them in mind. Ve'hem lakhu ve'shachatu. But they went on their own after that. And they found another animal. And they slaughtered for themselves. So now the question is, where do they eat from? So the Gemara Mishnah says, "Im shelo nishchat rishon, if the shaliach that they sent, if his animal was slaughtered first, who ochel mishelo? Of course, the shaliach eats from that one. Vehem ochlim emo mishelo, and they also eat from him, because since they designated him, they said, "Go find and slaughter for us." So therefore, they're primarily with the shaliach. So his korban came first. Therefore, what they did is nothing, and therefore they're registered with the shaliach. The im shelahen mishchat rishon. Now, if their korban was slaughtered first, hem ochlim mishelahen, because the fact that they slaughtered themselves, as if they're explicitly saying what they don't want to be part of the shaliach anymore, right? Especially his korban was not even brought yet, so therefore they eat from their korban. Vu ochel mishelo. Of course, and the shaliach can only eat from his. He cannot eat from theirs, because he didn't tell them to slaughter for him. They told him that they want to be part of him, and only went one way. So therefore the shaliach always eats from the korban that he found, and in this case, since their korban was slaughtered first, they eat from theirs. So you don't know which one was slaughtered first. Or sheshachatu shenehem keihad. Well, let's say they slaughtered both of them simultaneously. Hu ochel mishelo. Again, the shaliach, a simple answer. He always eats from his. Because for sure he had himself in mind, and he did not have himself registered with the other people. However, vehem enam ochlim emo. However, they cannot eat with him, because maybe their korban was brought first. Now, if their korban was brought first, as if they're saying what? That they don't want to be part of the shaliach. Vishilahen yitzel lebet ha-serefa. But they cannot eat from theirs as well. Why? Because maybe the shaliach was done first, and therefore theirs cannot be. So what do they do with theirs? They send it out to the Beit HaSerefa, they burn it. Ufturin mila'asot Pesach Sheni. But regardless, they're exempt from being Pesach Sheni. Why? Because either way, they were registered somewhere. Now the deen is, you don't have to eat the Korban Pesach to count as if you brought the Korban Pesach. So therefore, either they were registered on the first Korban of the shaliach, or they were registered on their own. Now, they can't eat from any of these korbanot over here, because they really don't know who's they're registered. They can eat from the first guy, because maybe they weren't part of them. Then it's already somebody that's not registered eating from Korban Pesach. They can't eat from their own, because maybe the first one was brought first, right? The shaliach was brought first, and there's nothing. It doesn't matter. They're exempt from Pesach Sheni, because bottom line, they were somewhere. Either in the first one or the second one. Okay, that's the first case of the Mishnah. Now we give the second case. Amar lahin. Okay, now the shaliach in the second case of Mishnah tells the members of the group, "Im iharti." Listen, if I don't come back, if I'm delayed, I'm going to go try to find the original one. But if I'm late and I don't come back, tse v'shahatu alai. So he tells, "I want you now to bring for me." That's how this case is different than the first case. In this case, over the shaliach is also designating them to slaughter for him. Now, halach umatza v'shachat. So the shaliach went, he found the original one, and he slaughtered. Ve'en lakhu v'shachatu. And they also went, and they slaughtered. What's the deen? Im shelahen nishchat rishon. If theirs was slaughtered first, hen ochli mishalen. Of course, the group eats from the one they slaughtered. V'ochel amayin. And he
But he also eats with them because he designated them goat slaughter for me. And therefore, he wants to be part of them. Now, ve'im shelo nishchat rishon, if the shaliach was slaughtered first, hu ochel mishelo. Obviously, he eats from his own. Ve'en ochli mishelahem. And they eat from their own because they didn't tell him, in this case, goat slaughter for us. This was only one way. This was only where the shaliach said, you do it for me if I'm late. So therefore, in the case where the shaliach was done first, they cannot eat from his, they only eat from their own. Well, let's say they don't know who was done first. Or sheshachatu shenehem ke'ehad, or they did it simultaneously. Hen ochlim mishilahin. Well, obviously the group eats from this because they slaughtered the Korban Pesach legitimately. But he cannot eat from them because maybe his was first. If his was first, he doesn't want to be part of the other group. And his has to be burnt. Why? Because maybe he was joined with the other group. Maybe theirs was slaughtered first. And therefore, his is not legitimate, so he let it go to Bet HaSerefa. But what? Upatum l'asot Pesach Sheni. But he also was exempt from Pesach Sheni, because either way, he was registered somewhere. Okay, now we go to the third case of the Mishnah. Amar lahen ve'amru lo. If they both designated themselves, you bring for me, right? They tell the Shaliyah, you bring it for us, and the Shaliyah says, if I'm late, you bring it for me. This way, everybody designated each other. So the deen is ochlin kulam min arishon. So whichever one was slaughtered first, everybody's part of the first one. Vim enu yadua ez min nishchat rishon, shenem yotzim lebet ha-serefa. Right? In this case over here, you don't know. Nobody knows whose korban they're registered on. So therefore, burn both of them. But they're going to be exempt. Because bottom line, everybody was registered on a korban Pesach at the time of the Shechita. So therefore, they're okay. Now, we give the fourth case of the Mishnah. Lo amar lahen velo amru lo. Nobody designated anybody for anything. The Shaliyah went his way, the group went their way, then the deen is en achra'in ze laze. Nobody's responsible for anybody. Everybody's on their own now. Which means the Shaliyah, when he finds his Qurban, finished. He's on his group. When they find their Qurban, they're on their group. Nobody's responsible for each other. You don't have to say who was first, who was second. I didn't designate you, and you didn't designate me. Everybody's on their own. Okay, now we go to the next case. Fifth case of the Mishnah. Shtei Haburot. Interesting case. You have two groups. Shinitarebu Pesachin. Okay, you got two groups. The Qurban Pesach got mixed up. Now they got a problem. They don't know who's is who's. Elu moshchin lahen echad ve'elu moshchin lahen echad. So the deen is just one group takes one korban, and the other group just arbitrarily takes one, and the other group takes another one. Echad me'elu balo etzel elu ve'echad me'elu balo etzel elu. And you let one member of one group defect to the other group, and one member of that group defect to the other group. And then they make a condition amongst them. They say like this: Im shelanu ha pesach hazeh. If this korban pesach was originally ours, yadecha meshuchot meshelecha v'nimnit al shelanu. You are pulled away from where you were supposed to be, and we're joining you with us. V'im shelecha ha pesach hazeh. And if this korban pesach really belongs to you, Yadenu mishuchot mishelanu. We're pulling away from ours, v'nimninu al shelecha, and we'll join with you. Now, what are you gaining by this system over here? Well, I have another system, easier system. What do you have to start making one guy defect and all that? Just let everybody keep the groups the same. You take one, and you take one, and you bring it as, and you say, if it's ours, this one over here. Okay, so we're bringing the right one. And if it's not ours, we're all defecting over here. Which means we're all going to pull ourselves away from this one. And we'll be part of the other one. Which means we'll be counted on the other one. You cannot do that. The deen is like this. You can never leave a Qurban Pesach without anybody registered on it. You always have to have at least one registrant on the Qurban Pesach. If the Qurban Pesach for a moment has zero registrants, it becomes pasul. So therefore you have to figure out a way to always guarantee there's always be one guy that's on the Korban Pesach. So how do you do that? If one guy defects from one group to now, at least you have four and one. For sure one of these guys is part of that Korban Pesach. The Korban Pesach was never left ownerless. Either the, one of the four guys own it, or the fifth guy owns it. So you're definitely covered. Right? You're not going to have a problem of leaving a Korban Pesach ownerless. Now the Gemara gives another example. The Gemara Mishnah says, V'chin hamesh chaburot, shel hamisha hamisha, v'shel asara asara. Let's take a case, you have five groups. And there's five members of each group. Moshchim nayin echad mekol chabura v'chabura. Each guy takes arbitrarily, each group takes one of the Korban Pesach. They got mixed up. Right, so each five take one Korban Pesach. However, how do they make the group of five? The groups of five are made one from each group. And you have five groups. So now you got to make new groups here because you don't know where the Korban Pesach is. You don't know who's whose. Take the Korban. Each group will be made of one from each of the five groups. What are you guaranteeing by that? For sure somebody in that group is the owner of this Korban Pesach. Which means, otherwise, if you're just going to arbitrarily say, everyone just take a Pesach. Could be now, you have a Korban Pesach that doesn't have any of its original registrants. And therefore the Korban Pesach becomes Pasul. So no. What you do is, you have the five groups, which have 25 people. You take one, new group. Okay, then take another. Five guys, new group. And then you give each one a Pesach. So for sure, in every single group, one of the guys owns that Pesach. And then, what do? The same system as we said above. The four guys tell the one guy. The four guys tell the one guy, listen, if it's yours, we're out of the other ones and we're with you. If it's ours, you're out and you're with us. And now the next guy has got to tell the remainders the same thing. Which is each guy in the group now has to tell the remainders group, the second guy now in the group. He comes to the remaining four and he has to come along and tell, listen, if it's mine, you're with me. If it's yours, I'm with you. And then the third guy does it to the remaining four. So each one in the group has to make this condition to all four guys that are remaining in order that the Korban Pesach automatically will be eaten by the right people. Now, Moshchin lemecham mikol habura b'habura, like we said, they take one from each group. V'kin hem omrim. And they say the same thing as we said in the last case. Now we go to this case. Last case of the Mishnah. Shnaim shenitaberu, shenitarebu, I'm sorry, pishehem, pishehem. You have Reuven and Shimon. Simple case, two guys. The Korban Pesach got mixed up. So now you have a problem. Because there's only two guys. Reuven he's alone, and Shimon's alone. They don't know who's who. So what are they going to do over here? You can't just say arbitrarily, all right, listen, we'll split them up, we'll take one, we'll take one. Maybe you're not on this one, maybe you're not on that one. Now already you have a Korban Pesach that doesn't have its original registrant, so you're stuck. And as you don't have the ability to do this condition that we said above, let one of the guys from the other group join, there's no one else, just Reuven and Shimon. So how do they negotiate in this case? So the Mishnah says, "Ze moshech lo echad, veze moshech lo echad." Right. First, let Reuven take one of them, and let Shimon take one of them. We don't know if they took the right one or not. Mm-hmm. Now, what do they do? "Ze mimane imo echad minashuk, veze mimane imo echad minashuk." And then let them go take a guy from the street. Let's read Rashi inside. Shinitarevu pishehen. Reuven v'Shimon shinitarebu pishehen. So Reuven and Shimon, their two Korban Pesahs got mixed up. Reuven moshech lo echad, v'Shimon moshech lo echad. Reuven takes one, Shimon takes one. Reuven holech u'mimane imo et Levi min hashuk. Reuven goes and joins Levi from the market. He brings him. V'omer kol makom shu pesach sheli. He says, wherever my pesach is, hare atan nimne alav. You're with me wherever my pesach is. He doesn't designate him on a specific one because he doesn't know really which one it is. But you're with me regardless. Shimon mimane imo et Yehuda min hashuk. Shimon joins Yehuda from the shuk, and he says the same thing. Wherever my korban is you're with me. De'akshav yushenayim al kol echad kol makom shu. So now there's two registrants to each korban, but we don't know which ones. But each korban has at least two registrants on it. Now, that she continues. Ze ba etzel ze. Reuven ba lo etzel Pesach shemashach lo Shimon. V'Shimon ba lo etzel Pesach shemashach lo Reuven. Now they switch. Reuven goes to the korban that Shimon chose, and Shimon goes to the korban that Reuven chose. V'chen omer Reuven Yehuda. Now Reuven tells Yehuda, that was the guy off the street that Shimon joined with him. And he remained with the korban that Shimon chose. If this korban pesach is really yours, meaning if Shimon took the right one, his original one, and therefore you're part of this korban, because Shimon joined you with his korban, so you're part of it. So I am going to pull out from mine. So I will join you on this one. But let's say this one is really mine, meaning which is we didn't choose right, and therefore this one right now is mine, and therefore you're not registered on this one, so therefore you'll defect from where you are and you will join me. Therefore, each one had to do this and pick a guy from the marketplace. If they just want to do this when they're alone. Why don't you just say like this? If we chose the right ones, so we're good. Ve'im lav, and if we didn't choose the right ones, hareni moshek mishili v'nimne al shilcha, so I'll pull away from mine and join yours, that's no good. Why? Because nimsa kishu nimshak mishilo, hareu maniach pisho, kamotshu, kelomar belo be'alim.
You can't do that.
Which means you cannot leave a korban pesach ownerless. Because once the korban becomes ownerless, it becomes pasul. She'adayin lo nimne acher alav. Because the other guy did not join on him, which is when you say, I'm pulling out and joining on yours. And another guy, for that second, that korban now has no owner, even though Shimon's going to say the same thing. And if I pick the wrong one, I'm pulling off of this one and I'm joining on that one. But again, until he says that, the korban is left ownerless. Now, the Lashi just continues and says, why don't you just say an option like this? Let Uvin and Shimon just be the only players over here, and let them both join on each other's korban and then pull out from wherever there's are. You can't do that she says. Because a person cannot join himself on two korban pesachs. You have to pull away from one and join on the other. So the only option of the Mishnah is, as we said, that they take two guys from the shuk. That ensures that the korban pesach will always have somebody registered on it, and therefore each one will make this condition, as we said, with the other fellow from the shuk, and therefore the korban pesach can be eaten, meaning the Reuven will eat with Yehuda, and Shimon will eat with Levi, and this case is will work out fine. Amen.